Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff like you.
All right, all right, all right. Sorry for that delay there. I'm running the switchboard solo tonight. So I am your host for the moment, Chris Bikerson, or some of you might know me as Billy Bikerson. I should probably take a minute to explain that in a minute or two here. But Jeremy is not quite with us yet. And so I'm going to be, I'm going to be running the show here for a little bit by myself. Now, as far as Jeremy, I'm not sure what's got him tied up. But I'll tell you, I'm sure whatever it is, it's important because, he wouldn't leave me at the controls otherwise. So what we're going to do here, and I'm going to kind of kick off our call-in campaign a little bit early here. The guest call-in line is, 516-387-1733 if you'd like to get on the air and say something. And once you go through the little Blog Talk Radio intro and you can hear the show in your phone, go ahead and hit the number one on your handset. That will let me know here on the switchboard that you'd like to chime in and say something. So moving forward from there, of course, there's lots of topics in the news today, this week, that we could get into. I'm going to try to hold off on some of that stuff until Jeremy is able to join us. But, you know, if you have something you want to talk about, of course, call in. And I'll be glad to entertain it, and we'll get right down to it. Now the whole Chris Bikerson versus Billy Bikerson thing. I'm going to take a minute to explain that because I know that a lot of people are getting confused. You hear Chris Bikerson, and you see Billy Bikerson. So here's what happened. So Bikerson is my stage name, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, and I, for the longest time, for years, had a Facebook account under the name Chris Bikerson, and most people do call me Chris that know me. And then I upset somebody in Silicon Valley. I don't know if it was Mark himself or one of his assistants. Nonetheless, I upset the apple cart, and I made some heads explode over in Silicon Valley, and they came through and they actually executed Chris Bikerson. And they said, you can be no more. Chris Bikerson no longer has a platform on our platform from which to speak because you have offended, you know, the gods of the tech industry. So Chris Bikerson got executed. And when I opened up a new account, I did that under Billy Bikerson. Now, it's just kind of a funny thing because William Christopher is my name. And so I ran with Billy Bikerson. And so I've got social media accounts out there now under Billy Bikerson, but the people that know me from before that call me Chris still, including Jeremy. And so that's kind of the update there. So if you're getting confused because you see Chris Bikerson and Billy Bikerson, we're one and the same. I don't have a twin brother running around out there, just to clear that up. And while we're here waiting for somebody to call in or for Jeremy to get back from whatever he's doing, I'm just going to go ahead and take a minute. I'm going to talk about actually something that I have coming up. For those that don't know, I do have some platforms of my own out there, and that's on TikTok, Rumble, Truth Social, and YouTube. And I'm running under the name Bikerson the Beer Man. And the primary thing I do there is I give reviews. It's kind of geared toward bikers. Go figure, Bikerson, right? And what I do is I give reviews of some cool places, some cool travel stops for people that are on motorcycle road trips. Although you don't need to be on a motorcycle. These are some cool places to stop if you're in a car or whatever you're in, a big truck, truly, I find a lot of these places while I'm out on the road as a trucker, but a lot of them I go to as a biker, biker, trucker, it all kind of fits in. We're all out there making sure the hammer lane don't rust, whether it's with two wheels or 18 or four or six or whatever. And so I do that channel. And I post reviews, like I said, of these really nice travel destinations, travel stops on your way to other destinations. And it's kind of geared towards places that have hotels nearby that you can walk to so that you don't have to worry about getting a DUI or, God forbid, something worse. But coming up, I've decided that I'm actually going to enter into an independent film competition. That's going on right now, and I've never done something like that. So I decided to get into this competition, and the topic category, I should say, that I decided to compete in is the documentary category. And so I'm actually making a documentary. Documentary is going to kind of be centered around the driver shortage. And it's going to kind of delve into the driver shortage, the supply chain issues that are going on in the country right now, kind of a history of the trucker activist movements, And if you want to catch it, the name of the documentary is, excuse me, my mind just went blank. That happens when you're live on the air sometimes. The name of the documentary is Crisis and Corruption, 18 Minutes. And where the 18 minutes comes from, and this is discussed in the documentary, was a recent study by, I believe it was an MIT professor, who, upon hearing the news that there was this driver shortage and that we needed 80,000 more drivers on the road in order to meet capacity demands, well, he sat down, he crunched a bunch of numbers, he looked at the average amount of time each truck is actually able to drive per day. Obviously, trucks do not get to drive their full hours every day because there's time spent loading and unloading at shippers and receivers. And so the number of hours on average that each truck is on the road is considerably less than the amount of hours a truck is allowed to drive per day. But because of the 14-hour rule and the amount of time spent at the loading docks or shippers, receivers, ports, et cetera, because of that, the average is hours under that. I believe, and I have to go back and look up the data, I believe he said the average truck is only on the road like 6-point-something hours a day, because the rest of that time they're doing things like fueling, stopping at weigh stations, getting inspected, down for repairs, sliding tandems, relocating loads on their flatbed, low boy, et cetera. So there's all kinds of things that slow down the truck's ability to drive. But what this professor came up with is pretty astonishing. After he crunched all the numbers, he said, you know, if every truck out there on average was able to drive an additional 18 minutes per day, that would make up for the 80,000 drivers that the government says we are short in order to keep up with capacity demands. And so that's where the title comes from, Crisis and Corruption, 18 Minutes. And that documentary is going to be posted on my Bikers and the Beer Man YouTube page. And basically, to enter the competition, I share the link from that documentary to the competition. And there's some other stipulations. I had to use music somewhere in the documentary from their list of musicians, artists that they are working with. So I actually had about a dozen songs to choose from, and I had to include one of those songs in the documentary, not the entire song, but I had to use a certain number of seconds of one of their approved songs in the documentary, and I've got to get that in pretty quick. I will be asking you, if you got nothing else to do once I get that uploaded to my YouTube page. One of the things that helps me with that competition, of course, is audience interaction, so that if I can have likes and shares, comments, and of course, the more subscribers I can have, all the better. That way it looks like some content that people like. So I will be sharing that out to several different trucking groups, et cetera, several places on internet, social media. Once I do have that documentary completed and I have that link available, I will be sharing it out there. So, hey, you know what? Like I said, if you got a few minutes and you don't mind, once I get that out there, just go ahead and give it a watch. And if you don't mind, give a share and drop a comment on it. That would be much, much helpful to my cause here. But getting back to the show, again, we have all kinds of issues going on this week. I'm surprised at this point nobody's come up with the hashtag abort Elon. It would kind of sum up the left position on the last week or so very nicely. But looks like I see Brian's here. Brian, if you'd like to join me and shoot back and forth with me a bit here while we wait for Jeremy. Just hit the old number one on your dial there, and I'll bring you in. And if you know what, if you're in one of those moods and you'd rather not be on the air, there we go. All right. I see the hand is up. So without further ado, just to help me get through this first little bit here, I'm going to go ahead and bring Brian in, and we're going to see how he's doing tonight. All right,
I'll
Brian,
tell you
you're
what.
On the air.
Tell you this, I got a bone to pick with whoever routed me on my oversize permit today. But other than that, I'm doing pretty well. I got to go home.
Yeah, you know, routing with the oversize stuff is always fun during construction season. And Brian's already heard this story, so I'm about to bore him here. And this kind of feeds into a little bit of some of the material you're going to see in the documentary. I had a load I was supposed to pick up in one of the ports in Texas on Friday. Long story short, I finally left with that load yesterday afternoon. Ergo the reason I'm only in Oklahoma today. But I was not the only driver sitting there for multiple days. There were a lot of guys that showed up Friday, guys and gals and whatever pronoun, that showed up Friday, and there was an entire ship that hadn't been unloaded yet. And so basically we were all showing up, waiting in line for hours and hours just to finally get to the check-in window, again, after several hours, for them to look at our paperwork and say, oh, yeah, no, nothing on this ship's been unloaded yet. You'll have to come back next week. So I wasn't a real happy camper with Texas. And for the oversized people out there, I know, Brian, you're one of them. If you're not aware, and if anybody tries to schedule you for something to pick up in Galveston, Texas, at the port of Galveston, the state of Texas, I think it was last week, I don't know for sure what day, they performed an inspection on the I-45 bridge that actually takes you across into, Galveston Island there where the port is. And they found a crack on the bridge. And because of this crack on the bridge, the state has suspended permits for any load that is overweight. So if you're trying to pick up something that's going to put you at more than 80,000 pounds gross, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're not going to be able to run that load. The state will not issue you a permit for it. And if you try to run it without the permit, they got DOT all over that situation. Excuse me. DOT is all over that situation. And they will shut you down real quick, along with a whole bunch of fines and everything else. So, yeah, if you're trying to go in or out of Galveston with an overweight load, just go ahead, call your broker right now and tell him, never mind, you need to find me something else. And at that point, you're probably going to have to deal with Houston or Freeport if you do a lot of port business down there. And all I'm saying. But, Brian, tell us a little bit about your wonderful troubles today.
Well, any of you guys that are traveling this particular lane, east-west, like Chris said, I do a lot of oversized stuff. Right there on 74 in Indiana and Illinois, they're doing a bunch of construction there. And they routed me off route for that. I'm 11.6 wide currently, but heavier than hell. And I'd already done about 1,000 miles on this load and about 90 miles of getting off. So once I could take my detour, that for the next 90 miles, I think I spent more time in construction zones than I did the previous 1,000 miles. I ran pretty – I've got about 20 minutes left in my 11-hour clock. So those drivers out there, you know what I'm talking about. I only covered 530 miles today. So I don't know who thought it was a wise idea to route me that way, but they and I are going to have a little conversation here tomorrow. So
yeah, whoever does the routing
headed that way.
Yeah, they are something else. I can't even tell you how many times they've taken me, 12 foot, 13 foot wide, and routed me down these winding country roads that are barely wider than like a golf cart path, you know, and it's really bad, you know, especially if you're somewhere where you don't require an escort at that width, and you're taking up, you know, pretty much the majority of both lanes, and you're going through all these hills and curves. You know, it's one thing if you've got an escort car out there in front of you that can help, you know, communicate to you. If there's another car coming around the curve, and they can occasionally, you know, jump out there and block the lane so that you can finish getting around the curve. But, man, running those roads without some sort of assistance like that is pretty nightmarish. I'm not a big fan of it. But not only that, but, I mean, just once they take you off the interstate and they start running you down the little two-lane roads where you got to slow down to 30, 25, 20 miles an hour through the towns, and you're hitting all kinds of traffic and red lights. I mean, it adds hours and hours to the drive. And, well, it's pretty much something we deal with every year about this time when the construction projects really start popping up coming out of the winter season. And, yeah, not a big fan of it at all.
Well, now, Chris, I will tell you, I have found a positive in that. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but I have found a positive in that. I kind of called in a little bit late here, and I'm sorry for that. But you ride, and, well, I pretend like I have time to. But that little bit that I did over there in Indiana today, that would have been a really nice ride on a bike. So I try to take a look whenever I'm going around and so on and so forth and see nice places to ride, you know, make a little trip out of it. So I got to find the right spot somewhere, right?
I mean, and I've discovered a few of those places too, you know, that I've driven in the truck that are just absolutely gorgeous. And I look at it and I think, okay, I really want to hit this on my bike one of these days. Unfortunately, a lot of those places are really far from my house. And so coming up with the time to venture that far out from the house during the little bit of time that I can afford to take off under this wonderful blossoming economy that we have going on. how are you doing fuel wise? What kind of fuel prices have you been seeing lately?
Oh, I filled up today in Iowa, and I think it was $5.25 a gallon. Yeah, I think it was $5.25 a gallon. I ended up spending about $800 on fuel and death. And best part in all that, I'm going to have to do it tomorrow somewhere on the eastern side of Ohio. I figure it's going to be another $800.
So yeah.
It's kind of beating me.
Thing. It's like $5.15 a gallon is what I've been paying down in Texas, which was normally, you know, one of the places that was not too unreasonable with diesel prices in the past. That's no longer the case. Oklahoma's just as bad. You know, the pump prices I'm seeing up here in Oklahoma, you're looking at, you know, $5.39, $5.49 a gallon. It's getting worse and worse out here with diesel prices. You know, they did kind of drop a little bit there for a short period when I guess the strategic oil reserves, some barrels from there were released, but you know, those have been accounted for now, and the diesel prices are jumping back up. And the problem is, because of the fuel prices, it's slowing down the amount of travel that people are doing. People aren't going out and doing as much, you know, because most of their income now, it seems like, is going into covering their fuel costs for going to work and back. And, well, that's leading to a little bit of a downturn in the freight market. And as, of course, we all know, as the demand for freight decreases, so do the rates. So the fuel surcharges are going up, but the overall, the line haul rates, you know, the base freight rates have been taking a downturn. And so it's balancing out to where I know in our case, you and I are working off of the same load board. In our case, it's like stuff is paying pretty much about the same that it was a year ago, 2 years ago even. But obviously our cost to our cost to move that freight from point A to point B has gone up considerably. And I mean, like, doubled from that time. And of course, you know, so that cuts into the amount of money going into our pockets after we cover all of our expenses. And of course, because of inflation, the money that we do make, you know, doesn't go nearly as far as it used to. So it's kind of a double whammy. We're making less money, and that money is not not, it doesn't have the same buying power that it used to. So I know a lot of people out there are suffering right now, you know, financially in the trucking business. I do see a handful of guys out there saying that, you know, we're a bunch of crybabies and they don't know what we're talking about. They're making more money than ever. All I can think is that because, you know, they're getting a higher fuel surcharge and seeing a bigger dollar amount off of the load than they used to, they think they're making money, but they aren't, you know, they're not factoring in their cost of running that.
I was going to say revenue and profit are two very different things. I did my books not too long ago and figured out my cost to run the truck for a mile, and it's kind of surprising. I don't mean to sound like Kevin Rutherford here, but those guys out there that are owner ops, I like to say that I pretend to be an owner op for the last 7 years or so. I mean, you know, I own my own truck. I own my own trailer at one point in time. Now I'm buying a new truck. But if you don't know how much it's costing to run that truck per mile, then, you know, you really don't have much of a say in how much you're actually making or not. Talking about, you know, the real world applications, you know, here we are coming into spring. The last 8 years, I usually take about anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks off throughout the year, you know, a week here, a week there, that sort of thing. And I almost always take a week off in the springtime. This is the second year in a row that I can't afford to do that, you know. So I've got two little ones at the house, and that kind of affects, you know, how that works out. So, I mean, it has real-world costs, and we're going to see some more of that coming here pretty soon, I think. I think we're headed for a market crash, and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, you know, speaking about vacations, I don't know about you, but I'm signed up on this plan. Basically, what that plan is my truck selects my vacation for me. And the way that works is I go out and I drive and I drive and I drive and I chase my tail and I try to keep up with inflation. And then at some point in all that driving and chasing my tail, the truck says, hey, it's time for a vacation. You take me to the nearest repair shop and take a few days off. And at that point, I drop the truck off, and then I go enjoy a vacation at home where I don't have to pay for hotel rooms if I can afford to get there, if my truck is gracious enough to, you know, to drop me off somewhere close enough to home that I can, you know, grab a rental car or, you know, maybe if I'm near a major airline hub, I can actually afford an airline ticket, you know, to go home and back, you know, that's going to come out cheaper than paying $130 a night for a hotel room while I wait for the repairs. So, yeah, the truck select plan, the truck select vacation plan, I thoroughly endorse it.
You hear, for the last about year or so, I've been on that plan, and I unfortunately, the truck has had more vacations than I wanted to have, so, or could afford to have, I guess I should say. Yeah, I know that one. But it's, you know, it's kind of fun. But, I mean, you and I are a different age. I'm a little bit younger than you, and it amazes me that there are still some guys out here that are my age and so on and so forth that are still hard charging because, you know, it's kind of what we like. But, you know, you got to take the good with the bad sort of thing. And I'll be honest with you, I can't imagine doing anything else. So, like I said, you got to find a bright spot sometime or, you know, do what I heard one of the drivers say before, that he's just going to park the truck one day and run off into the desert. Of course, to be fair, I would have paid money to see that one. So,
which part, him trying to survive in the desert or him running?
Just him running off in the desert. I think it'd be funnier than hell. See him park right there in 40, set the brakes, and just take off, hightailing it off in the desert.
Yeah. No, I tell you, it's been rough. And I know a lot of it's been especially tough on the owner-operators because, I mean, just the expenses are up so far. You know, the parts and the labor shortage has fed in to our problems so much more. You know, things that you used to be down for 3 or 4 days, now you're pretty much guaranteed to be down at least 2 weeks, you know. And, I mean, that downtime, man, the losses are hard. The expenses are still there. You know, you still got that truck payment, the trailer payment. You still got that insurance bill. And it's brutal. It's brutal. And,
yep.
And, yeah.
I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt, but I was going to say, I honestly can't pick a different line of work. Not so much that I'm too stupid to do anything else. I mean, I'm college educated and all, IR educated. It's just after you do this for a while, what else is there to do? Go sit in a desk for 8 hours a day? I don't think so. So.
Yeah, it is.
What were you
going to
say there, though?
You know, I'm thinking. Yeah, I think we'll just switch subjects here real quick. Maybe we'll get into some current news before Jeremy jumps on here. What do you think, and I know we didn't touch on it last week, and it's kind of an issue that's flittering away now, given the recent, you know, Supreme Court
dust. I've been talking to my fucking self for the last fucking 5 minutes. Couldn't figure out why the hell I couldn't get on this damn thing, and I didn't push the button to talk, moron. God, I'm an idiot. I'm like, hey, you guys, I want to say something. And I'm like, the son of a bitch is ignoring me, and he keeps on interrupting. Would you guys quit interrupting? Hey, I got something to say. Yeah, well, I had a lot to say, except my microphone wasn't on. So, hey, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Well, there we go. Well, everybody, Jeremy.
Well, Jeremy, that's why. That's why you're the host and we're not.
Yeah, right. If I was the host, the people have a 2-hour show of me yelling at a microphone that ain't on. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I was listening to your guys' conversation there, but, you know, I just got home from, I left last Sunday, just got home just now, put on 2,700 miles, and I paid $3,100 in fuel this week.
Oh,
so yeah, that's 2 years ago, I would have paid about $1,200 to $1,300. So about triple of what I was spending 2 years ago or 2.5 times. So yeah, we're, this industry is going to be in deep shit if, something ain't fixed here soon. Cause there are guys making good money. It's hit and miss on depending on what kind of load you get, but there's a lot of guys that are really, really struggling right now. But, and it's only going to get worse. When they pass that speed limiter through, you know, they're going to slow you down to 60 or 65 miles an hour, or whatever they decide that speed limit's going to be. we're constantly under attack in the trucking industry, constantly under attack. I've been fighting this shit for 3.5 years. I've told you guys in the audience, I've been to 3 state capitals. I went to a Joplin, Missouri slow roll. Washington, D.C., Hagerstown, Maryland. I've been all over this country fighting for the trucking industry. People say, well, what'd you get done? You know what I got done? I got effort. I tried. these same people that criticize you have never spent a dime to fight for anything in their life except they spent $100 on a cell phone so they could be keyboard warriors. But now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take whatever comes to the trucking industry. And I'm gonna laugh. I'm gonna laugh my ass off. You don't know what affects me too. And I'm gonna keep on saying I told you so. And it's gonna be the most unsatisfying I told you so in the history of I told you so's. But yeah, that's my take on. I think it's ridiculous. It's unsafe. 2-lane highways. You want to go to pass somebody? You ain't gonna have the gas pedal there to get safely around them. This is gonna be a frickin' disaster. Not to mention the people keep rear-ending semis on the interstates because they're going too slow and people are buried in their phone. It's not gonna be good, gentlemen. What's your guys' take on it?
No, I think you're right on that. But I got to say, look at the fuel you'll save by going 65 instead of 70.
Yeah, well, shit, like today. I left Dodge City, Kansas this morning, and I just got home 10 hours later in Minnesota, and I ran 70, 75 the whole way. And, yeah, I burned fuel today. But, yeah, I saved a lot of fuel. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm just being more tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah. No, the thing that bothers me is, okay, so they lowered us. Let's just say they call 65, okay? And I can run 75 all day via interstate. That's 10 miles an hour for 11 hours, or like today was 10 hours. That's 10 miles an hour I lose. Now, 10 miles an hour times 10 is 100 miles that I lose, which is essentially, what, an hour and a half of your time? That's the difference between getting home from Dodge City, Kansas to Minnesota in one day or having to make it a day and then spend 10 hours overnight, an hour from home, and then go home. It concerns me on that level. We don't get enough home time the way it is, and now they want to make it so we get less home time because it's going to screw up a lot of guys' schedules.
No, well, you know, I agree with you on that entirely.
You know, most people out there, the public, most people out in the public, just, I hate to say it, but they could care less about, you know, us truckers, what we go through, and whether we're going to make it home today or tomorrow. It doesn't affect their apple cart at all, so they're really not worried about that. But what they are going to be worried about when this speed limiter effect takes place, and I'm just assuming that it will, if they don't realize these trucks that run coast to coast out west where, you know, you're crossing the high plains and the deserts where there's, you know, where you can see for 5 to 10 miles ahead of you and behind you, where there's very little traffic around you, like the nearest car is a mile ahead of you and the nearest car behind you is 2 miles behind you. They don't realize how many trucks are out there running 75, 80 miles an hour, which is the speed limit out there. And it's perfectly safe to do that because you can literally see anything coming behind you, in front of you, from the side of you. If there's a buffalo that's about to run across Interstate 80 or Interstate 90 in South Dakota, you see that buffalo way before he gets the road in front of you. So it's perfectly safe to run those speeds. But what they don't realize is when you knock those guys down by 15 miles an hour, and like you said, times 10 hours a day, right, that's 150 miles a day they're losing across those western and central plain states. And a lot of those guys are running produce. They're running vegetables. They're running fruit. Fresh fruits, like from California. So now, let's say, you know, you're in the Midwest or over in the Northeast, and, you know, chances are you like having fresh fruit and vegetables available to you during the winter months. Guess what? Once the speed limiter mandate takes effect, those fruits and vegetables that are coming from those tropical places a long way during the winter months, you're adding an extra couple of days to that trip now. So those fruits and vegetables are already going to be 2 days older when they hit the store shelf. You know, so this is not going to help the supply chain issues we have going on at all. It's going to make them considerably worse. And so it is going to affect everybody. You may not care that I can't make it home for 2 days. I only have to go home for one because of a speed limit mandate. But you might care that if you don't make it to the store within, you know, a few hours of delivery for fresh fruits and vegetables, you may not have the option of having fresh fruit and vegetables this week. So I think, you know, when we address this with the public, we probably need to attack it from that standpoint. Because like I said, you know, the general John Q public, they give a shit less, you know, what we go through out here. It's, you know, nothing off their nose, so. That's my thought.
Yeah.
Well, kind of going on what you were talking about earlier there with that movie. Now, I like I said, I'm a little bit younger than both of you guys, and there's some stuff that I'm willing to put up with and some I'm not. But they're starting to do the speed limiter thing. I mean, what's next? The driver-facing cameras. Now, I'll be honest with you. I can't think of another job I want to do. But if the government tells me I got to put a camera in here to look at me to make sure I do my job right, I'm done. I'm not doing that. I will quit right then and there, turn the truck in, sell the truck, whatever it takes. So these speed limiters and going down this route, you know, we're complaining that we have a driver shortage. We don't, but they're saying that we have a driver shortage. I mean, just imagine what's going to happen when you get a bunch of, you know, people like me and then actual cross-field drivers. Not saying you two are, but, well, y'all are older than me. But, I mean, seriously, though, you think about it, when it comes right down to it, what's going to happen when all of us start quitting? The experienced guys. The guys that have been in the industry 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. And they keep on attacking the trucking industry. And the worst part about it is having to sit back and watch the trucking industry be a bunch of cowards and not stand up for themselves. It's irritating. But you know what? It is what it is. Hey, Chris, by the way, I got a guy calling at 8 o'clock. He's got he does a benefit. His son's got a rare disease, and he's going to come on at 8 and just talk a little bit about what the disease is and how it affects people, and thought I'd bring a little twist to the show, but try to help the guy out a little bit, send some people in his direction. But yeah, he'll be calling at 8. But I wanted to get to some topics from over this last week. First topic was the leak from SCOTUS, the Supreme Court leak, where they said that they were going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And I've been observing Twitter and all the social media apps this last week and watching the liberals have a mental breakdown. And I hate to say it this way, but it's almost been satisfying to watch just because the fact of how they've acted over the last 3, 4, 5 years, how extremely left some of these people have gone. And I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat, but when you go at that extreme, that far to one side, and either side, and I'm talking right or left, when you go that far to an extent, and basically what I'm going to call them is extremists, they're lunatics, they're mentally ill. The way they acted like somebody, put it this way, I seen one of them, a younger gal, hold a sign that said, "I wish my mother would have aborted me." That is how absolutely insane the left has gone over this. When they're not banning abortion, they're just giving the power back to the states. And yes, there's going to be red states that say, no, you're not doing that in our state. And Pocahontas, whatever her name is, you know who I'm talking about, Senator Warren. She come on frickin' hinged. And she was screaming that, you know, this is going to affect the inner cities and they don't have enough money to fly to a different state to get, you know, to get that procedure done. And I'm thinking to myself, all the inner cities are pretty much deep blue. You know, the red states, you have inner cities in the red states, but for the most part, the blue states is where like Illinois, Minnesota, Maryland, the West Coast, that's all blue state. And you know, they're not going to do away with the right to have an abortion. So they're really making a big deal. You know, my body, my choice. They're screaming. I've heard that a million times. And I'm against abortion. Okay, I don't like it. I don't think it's right. However, it's not for me to decide what another person decides they're going to do with their body. So I know that's a controversial statement, but I stand by that. But the thing that bothers me is they've been yelling my body, my choice now for the last week. But when it comes to the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. No, you go get that COVID. You go get that, and you save lives. Doesn't matter what you want. If you don't have a choice. It's the fucking hypocrisy that I see that just drives me absolutely bonkers. What are your guys' take on that whole SCOTUS leak?
Well, I'm I'll start out and I'll fly my flag to start with. I'm a libertarian through and through, but I'm a constitutional libertarian. Basically, if the Constitution doesn't say it, you can't do it. That sort of stuff. But I think it's absolutely hilarious that these people are shouting and crying that this is an attack on our democracy. And all the thing's going to say is, let the states vote on it. They're literally saying, letting people vote if we're going to allow abortion in your individual state, so more democracy, is an attack on democracy. I don't understand. It's almost the same level of Elon Musk saying, hey, look, we're going to stop banning people on Twitter. And they're out there shouting, hey, this is an attack on free speech. I mean, 1984, Orwell, you know, newspeak.
Yeah.
Mean anything to you?
Yeah, I've been saying that too for the last week. How similar this is to 1984. Yeah. Chris, what do you think about all this? Or
well,
Chris have to go away for a second? Oh, there he is.
No, I'm here. So kind of echoing what Brian was saying, the Supreme Court, first off, has not made a ruling yet.
No.
It was a leaked draft, and that does not mean it was the final draft. It doesn't necessarily mean that is the decision they've arrived at. They may very well have a draft, you know, upholding Roe versus Wade and a draft opposing Roe versus Wade. As they continue to deliberate, they're going to want to have a draft ready for when they do make their final vote, their final decision. So that's first and foremost. It's not a ruling. It's a leaked document. Second, who the hell leaked it and why? Because that is a huge strike against the sanctity of the Supreme Court that someone is in there leaking their debates back and forth and their internal documents before they've made a decision. And third, if they do repeal it, if they do go back against Roe versus Wade, they're not saying we're going to make abortion illegal. They are saying this is a states' rights issue. Abortion is not mentioned directly in the Constitution. Therefore, pursuant to the Constitution, any power not relegated to the federal government goes to the states to decide for themselves. That doesn't mean even that if a state goes in and does a, let's just say, a no-holds-barred, outright abortion ban, no exceptions for anything, it does not mean that that state's law cannot be challenged constitutionally on the grounds that it is that the state law is overreaching, because the states are bound to the constitutional principles, as the same constitutional principles as the federal government. So this is not an attack on a woman's rights. This is literally the Supreme Court recognizing that a previous court overstepped its bounds and tried to establish a federal policy where the Constitution requires that the states handle that one individually. So, a lot of hype, but I got to tell you, I feel like they've pushed and pushed and pushed the right, and I think they were trying to goad us into a massive uprising, and we didn't give it to them. So now they're like, okay, well, let's start messing with the left now. We know they'll burn shit down. Let's see if maybe we can get the left to go out there and kick off this civil war. It seems to me, just everything that happened, the extreme divisiveness that's being driven, I honestly believe they are deliberately trying to ignite a civil war, and I can only imagine that they have a plan in place as soon as it starts.
and it involves the World Economic Forum. I guarantee you that.
If you guys don't mind, though, you touched on this, Chris, but the leaker, whoever the leaker was. Now, I want to draw a contrast, if you guys will allow me, to one leaker to another. They're already calling whoever leaked this document a hero. Hero of the democracy, hero of the republic. They are saving blah, 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 blah. It's up to you. What they did was plainly illegal. But
yeah,
if we go back just a little ways ago, to the Hunter Biden laptop, completely legal, and they're a Russian spy. It's like,
they're nuts.
How do you square that hole? one person who literally commits a felony is a hero, and they need to be praised, and so on and so forth. And by the way, this is the first and only time this sort of document has ever been leaked in the United States history. The only thing that even comes close is, I think in the 60s or 70s, the document was leaked early, but that was only because of a clerical screw-up. Somebody thought it already had been released, and here it is. But it was the final decision anyway. So this is literally the first time this has ever happened in the United States history. This guy is a hero. Meanwhile, people that are like, oh, by the way, here's some corruption that you guys might want to know about. By the way, I obtained all of these documents legally. They're persona non grata, they're worse than Satan or something. So
they don't want to hear the truth. That's the problem I have with them. They don't want to hear the truth unless that truth fits their narrative, which basically is cognitive dissonance. They do not want the truth if it goes against what they believe in, regardless.
Let me help you there. It's not that they don't want to hear the truth. It's just that's not their truth. Oh, I hate that term. My truth, your truth. It's truth. I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning to interrupt you. I'm just trying to...
I understand what you're saying. But it goes back to what they believe in, what their truth is, what they've been brainwashed and conditioned to believe in their whole lives. I was one of them people. I refused to look at anything from the other side when I leaned toward being a Democrat because I was raised a Democrat. I watched the news. I looked at the news, and I remember watching Fox News and how upset it would make me when I hear them talk about certain things. And I'd be like, they're straight out lying. They're straight out lying. Now, after I opened my eyes, I realize, the side that you're leaning on are literally brainwashing you. Everything that I have learned or been taught my whole life, everything that they've told me was a fact or true, turns out that none of it's true. Turns out that, as a matter of fact, everything has been embellished. We really don't even know what the true, real truth is anymore. You have to really dig and search for it. You know, if tomorrow Joe Biden and the Biden administration come out and said, the sky actually isn't blue, it's a green, and the Republicans said no, it's blue, that they would have a frickin' riot that we weren't agreeing with Joe Biden or the Biden administration or their new Ministry of Truth. I mean, and by the way, what the fuck is that Ministry of Truth? You know who the last person that had a Ministry of Truth was? Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. And the Biden administration literally gave, put in charge somebody from the Department of Homeland Security to head up the Department of the Truth. It baffles me that people don't see the correlation between what's happening now and what happened in Nazi Germany. And we've all heard the term, history always repeats itself. And what you're watching, what you're witnessing right now is history starting to repeat itself. Now, it can be stopped. I do truly believe that it can be stopped. But it all goes back to the World Economic Forum. It goes with their business partners. It goes, you find out who is actually involved. Justin Trudeau, then look at what the hell what he's doing in Canada. He's a tyrant. New Zealand, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Germany, Australia. They're literally worldwide embedded into our governments, and their plan is a complete hostile takeover called the Agenda 2030. They wanted to do it by 2030, but now Klaus Schwab come out and said, we need to speed that up. And you know why he did that? Because the people have awakened in masses. We know what's going on. We see what's going on. They're scared that somebody's going to trip, and they're gonna mess everything up because it's going to awaken the sleeping sheep yet that are over there fighting over a Supreme Court decision that hasn't even happened yet. They're mad over something that could possibly happen. And they continue on with this narrative. And the Biden administration, holy shit, talk about throwing propaganda at mass levels out there. And the Ministry of Truth. And Rand Paul even said, I don't trust the government to just tell me what the truth or lie is. And I agree with him. That is ridiculous. Go ahead. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, what's the actual title? The Department of Disinformation. There's some shit. Basically, the Ministry of Truth from 1984.
Right.
And I mean, whether you agree with the government's current position or not, here's the thing. Why in God's name would you give the government the power to determine what's true and what's not? People are not thinking. They can't see the forest for the trees. So to all you lefties out there that are rallying behind this idea, I want to throw something out there. Go ahead. Give the current government the power to decide what's correct information and what's disinformation. Let them decide what you're allowed to hear and what you're not allowed to hear. Now, let's imagine that our elections are actually free and fair still, right? And in that case, I want you to imagine, because elections are free and fair and the pendulum does swing, so elections aren't rigged, what are you going to do when there's a red wave? And now, because of the powers you gave them, the Republicans get to decide what is correct information and what is disinformation. Do you really want Ted Cruz deciding for you, my dear leftist? Do you want Ted Cruz deciding what information is correct and which information is not, and filtering out anything that he deems unnecessary or incorrect? Do you want Ted Cruz to have that power? Or, you know, pick one of your other favorite, hated, extreme, far-right wing Republicans. Do you really want to give them the power to decide that for you? Because when you give the government the power to make that type of decision for you, you are handing that power off to the next party that runs the country. And we saw that with executive orders, right? Obama kind of fired up the executive order train and the left cheered it on. And then Donald Trump came into office and he started using that whole executive order thing, you know, rule by executive order. And you guys completely lost your shit because you're like, oh, how dare the other side use the power that we gave the government? What the hell did you think was going to happen if you gave the government a power that they didn't previously had? You honestly didn't think that the other side would use that power just like your side did? So stop. Stop giving the government more power that they don't lawfully have, because at some point the pendulum will swing, the other party will come into control, and all the powers that you gave them, that you cheered on while they agreed with your position, are going to be used against you. Just stop it. I don't know. That's my take, Jer.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I got to say something. If you guys, I see there's a couple people that are listening in, if you want to get on air and share your opinion or you have something else to talk about, just press the number one if you're listening. That lets me know that you want to get on air. I do know that there's a guy supposed to call in at 8. I talked to him this morning on the phone, and I don't know what his last four of his phone number digits were. Steve and Meyer were supposed to send that over to me, and he never did send that over to me. So if you are listening and you want to get on air, or if you are the gentleman I talked to this morning, press the number one when you get through. That lets me know you want to get on air, and because I want to get that guy on here so he can explain that disease that we were talking about this morning. So it's very important that you press the number one. And if you're listening to us at home and something, one of our topics strikes a chord with you and you have something to say and weigh in, by all means, call 516-387-1733. And again, when you get through, press the number one. That's the only way I know that you want to get on air. Otherwise, I won't come call on you because I figure you're just calling in to listen to the show. So that phone number again is 516-387-1733. And when you get through, make sure that you press the number one. If I don't get to that guy today, for some reason, I can't figure out, you know, or he can't figure out how, you know, what number to call or whatever, we'll get him on next week for sure. But moving on with, you know, with the show, it's, you know, we're talking about how, first of all, let me just make this point. Chris, when you said the pendulum always swings, the last thing that you want to do is give the government any power that is unnecessary. And giving the government the power to decide what the truth is or what's not the truth is going to work very badly, and it has in history. Same thing happened in Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler was telling the people what the truth was through propaganda. And since our propaganda machine is alive and well, and they rescinded the Smith-Mundt Act, made it the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, it's completely legal for state-run propaganda through our media sources. And we are witnessing our media sources run wild with that, with the narrative that they're being fed by crooked, corrupt people and evil people. What gets me is like George Soros, Klaus Schwab, these types of people went through the Holocaust and survived the Holocaust. George Soros, I believe the story was he sold out his own family. These people are sick, man. They're not well, and they don't like us. we're peasants. And the fact that I'm even mentioning their name on here, and thank God I don't have a large following, but if I had a larger following and the word was getting out there, I guarantee you they would not be very friendly with me. I did a TikTok video the other day, and that TikTok video went up to 70,000 views, like rather quickly. And I just looked today, and they took it down for lack of authenticity. And in there, I talked about, you know, what are they trying to distract us from with this leaked document? Are they distracting us from the potential money laundering going on between the U.S. and the Ukraine? Are they distracting us from the 80,000 pages of Pfizer documents that were just released? And I'm going to get into that here in a second. Are they just distracting us from Hunter Biden's laptop? What exactly are they trying to distract us from? Every time there's a major story that needs attention, there's a distraction that pops up, a false flag, if you want to call it that. And it happens every time. It's predictable now. Go ahead.
Because I'm going to push back just a little bit on that. Now, I agree with you that a lot of times whenever something like this happens, they're distracting us. Look what left hand's doing while the right hand's robbing you blind. But the whole thing about the SCOTUS leak is this is a very, very hot topic. So you have some people on, I'll just say it, my side, that if the official ruling comes out and it's changed, they're going to be extremely angry. And I'm not terribly convinced they're going to take it lying down. we already know the left, if it doesn't come out changed, they're already rioting now. There was a guy yesterday, the day before, that had to go to the hospital because he lit himself on fire because of this. So I'm not so convinced that they're trying to distract us. I think that Chris hit on it. I think they're trying to divide us and get something to spark. Because if it comes out and it's different, people on the right, I don't think there's very many that are going to just say, well, you know, you win some, you lose more. I think there's going to be a lot of them that are, no, you said you changed it, and that's the law. And they're going to go with the ruling that was leaked. And if they don't change it, then doing it or amplify it. So I'm not convinced it's necessarily a distraction.
No, I agree with that, and I agree with Chris's assessment on it also. I'm just throwing out another perspective, an opinion, so to speak, to consider that is it a distraction or is it, you know, what Chris said it is. I like to see things from different perspectives, different viewpoints, different, well, what if it's this, what if it's that, and basically – let's throw out some conspiracy theories, just theories. Why the timing of this? Who did it? Why did they do it? What was the meaning behind leaking that? Did they know it was going to cause this or that? You know, all the ifs, what's, you know, all the questions. I want people to think about it and think deeply about it. Not say because I said, they're trying to distract you from this. No, that just gives me an excuse to bring up all the other things that is going on right now that you're not thinking about, or you may have put on the back burner as far as what you're thinking or your thought process is. What I'm trying to say is this leaked document from the Supreme Court, Hunter Biden laptop story, which you don't hear shit about in the media. The fact that Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff supposedly went to the Ukraine to meet with Zelensky and in a war zone, mind you, a dangerous war zone that the media has been selling us for the last however long, but they felt safe enough to fly in there with a group of people and walk into their chambers and have a meeting and not worry about the Russian, you know, the evil Putin is going to bomb them at any time. They're not worried about that. I mean, give me a frickin' break.
Come on, Derek. Be fair. The Ukraine is not as dangerous as the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. I mean, the people in Ukraine are armed, unlike the people who had signs and flags.
Great. You know,
that's
exactly what I'm – what I see, you look at it from different perspectives. You know, you compare this, compare that to January 6th, the insurrection, right? Oh, my God. You know, the worst violent insurrection in the history of our country is what the Joe Biden administration said. But they can fly into the Ukraine, and they feel safe. I don't get it. Not to mention the Pfizer documents, again, that were released. And I'm missing a handful of things that have recently happened that even I can't even keep up with this shit anymore. It's out of this world.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it just was leaked out, and there's another leak. Imagine that. That we are in real time sharing the location of Russian generals with the Ukrainian army, and then they are going in and assassinating the Russian generals. I mean, this is brilliant, tactically speaking, but the problem is, how do you do that and not get stuck into the war? I mean, just keep this in mind. When we got involved in Vietnam, we had 100 soldiers up there, 100 soldiers. They're just learning them sandal wearers how to fight properly. And then the next thing we know, we got 70,000 men over there, and we're there for 10 years. How do we go from sharing information, critical information, to not ending up in a shooting war?
Yeah, it's insane to me.
Yeah, it's stuff. Maybe that's one of them. I don't know.
Hey, I got a few people on the line. I just want to mention your last four digits of your phone number. If your last four of your phone number is 3933 or 9322, if you are one of those gentlemen that I talked to this morning with Stephen Myers, and you're the gentleman I'm waiting for to get on air, please press the number 1 on your phone so I know it's you and you can come on air and explain your story with us. I would appreciate that. Okay, the first one's Tony. I got you. Okay. So, yeah, I guess it's – okay, yep, it's not them. So he didn't call in. We'll get to him next week because I'm not going to keep on going back and forth on that and be causing a distraction. I want to get to the Pfizer documents because I think this is going to be a long discussion. 80,000 pages of the Pfizer document were released. And in those 80,000 pages – and listen – as you can imagine, 80,000 pages, it's going to take a while to read. But one of the things inserted in there was the fact that the vaccine had a 12% efficiency rating in the first 7 days of receiving it. After the 7 days, the efficiency rating dropped below 1%. They knew that it wasn't working, but yet they mandated it anyway. These are in Pfizer's actual data documents. Number two, they had a separate study where they gave 36,000 people that they watched the Pfizer shot, and 32,000 of them had some kind of adverse side effect, and over 1,200 of them died. In the history of this country and vaccines, if there was one death or just the mass number of adverse side effects, that vaccine would have been pulled off that market immediately. But they allowed it to continue, and they are allowing it to continue, even though that information is out there. Another study, and I can't remember the exact number, so I'm going to paraphrase here, not paraphrase, but just guesstimate. There was something like 96, I want to say, pregnant women that they were monitoring. Or no, I'm sorry, 396. 260 of them, or a little bit more than that, went MIA. They lost track of that study. I don't believe that they lost track. I think they just didn't want to share the information they had. So I believe they're lying about it. But they had 36 women that they verified, that they followed through with through the whole process. Out of those 36 pregnant women, you know how many live babies those 36 pregnant women had? One. One live baby. So basically, that vaccine was so bad for pregnant women that it kills babies. And we don't even know what the long-term studies are yet that are done. There ain't no long-term studies done on it yet. I've heard the rumor that it could cause people to be sterile, and it wouldn't surprise me. But to see that out of 36 mothers that were pregnant, 35 of them lost their baby. This Dr. Robert Malone tweeted out just today, we are witnessing the biggest crimes against humanity the world has ever seen. And I believe him. I'm wholeheartedly behind him. These Pfizer documents are the same documents that they asked a court to give them 75 years to release. Why does anybody need 75 years to release their data? You know why? Because they're fucking lying to you and they're committing mass genocide. That's why. And I won't shut up about this either because it's ridiculous. But the judge ordered that, no, they're not going to get 75 years. I believe he gave them 6 to 9 months. I think it was maybe 9. They have, I want to say, 450,000 pages to release. And so far, the first batch was, I believe, 60,000. Now this one was 90,000 or 80,000, something like that. And every month, they have to release so many pages of their documents. You want to argue over Roe versus Wade. You want to argue over, oh, I stand with Ukraine. Meanwhile, these same people that have the Ukrainian flag on under their profile pictures on social media and are the ones screaming in the middle of the street about my body, my choice. I am going to guess that a very, very large majority of them were vaccinated. Not only once or twice, but they're probably twice vaccinated and sometimes probably boosted or even double boosted. That's how much they believe in the quote-unquote science. And I tweeted out the other day, I said, I'm unvaccinated because I believe in the science. And I stand behind that because I listen to guys like Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Ryan Cole, Dr. Robert Malone. I listened to what their warnings were. As time went on through the beginning of this pandemic up until now, and now I'm being vindicated with everything that I've said for the last year and a half, or almost 2 years, that there's something not right with this. All the signs were there, the red flags were there, and now the data is coming out, and it's actually verifying what I have been saying this whole time is the truth. And I was one of the first ones that I remember that was screaming about remdesivir on social media, which is why I was banned permanently off of Facebook, which, by the way, I sneak back on somehow. But I was banned on Facebook. I was banned on TikTok because I was getting too much attention about the remdesivir. I read a study done in the Congo, and 33%, I believe the number was, of the people that were administered remdesivir died of major kidney failure or major organ failure. And that was their go-to treatment here in the States if you had COVID. And a lot of those people that got the remdesivir, they didn't need it. They didn't need to be treated. But they put them under that treatment. It was like a trial study almost. And it failed miserably, and it killed people, a lot of people. But what's your thoughts, Chris, on that drop from Pfizer and some of the things that come out from the data that we know so far, and more is going to come out every day now as we get a chance to read those documents. I mean, the last drop, 9 or 12 pages. There was no paragraphs or spaces, but 9 pages of adverse side effects when they told you that there was none. Add that into the conversation. But what's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, I'm just waiting for the part where the mass awareness starts taking hold. Everybody starts realizing that these vaccines were not what was promised. And I can guarantee you, mark my words, once it finally takes traction and everybody starts talking about it, they will immediately blame Operation Warp Speed. It was Donald Trump's administration that started the path to getting this vaccine approved, and we mandated it based upon information we had from his administration. That's going to be the spin. I guarantee it. Just mark my words on that.
I agree with you.
There is one more thing. I want to go back to the one aspect of the abortion argument that everyone's overlooking. We still don't know who was on Ghislaine Maxwell's client list.
Yes, that was another one that I forgot. But like I said, I can't even keep up anymore because there's so much that they're burying. The fact that the media covered up the Hunter Biden story. I seen another one, Anthony Weiner's laptop. Three of the police officers that witnessed what was on Anthony Weiner's laptop committed suicide. That's the official statement from officials. I don't believe they committed suicide. I believe they are covering that up also. And that's my conspiracy theorist coming out into me. And I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying. They said what they saw on that laptop was so horrible that they committed suicide. Now, let's go back to January 6th. January 6th, how many Capitol Police officers have committed suicide because of what they seen was so horrible? Or were they taken out because they knew too much? I mean, you ask these questions to yourself, folks. Don't just accept the narrative that the mainstream media throws at you and say, oh, well, yeah, it must have been horrible if they committed suicide. I've seen the videos. I've a lot of those videos from January 6th. Don't let the media fool you. That's all I'm going to say on that. But just, people, you need to start using your critical thinking. And I know some of you lack that, and that's okay. You don't have to, you know, it's fine. I'm not an Einstein either. But you have to ask yourself questions. You have to go against what the mainstream media tells you and go and do your own research and dig up as much information as you can about any given subject. And don't stop until you're satisfied that you believe what they say happened actually happened. Or if, as through your research, you're like, well, that raises a lot of questions. Oh, that raises a lot of questions. And you start digging into it a little deeper, and you're like, I don't think they're telling us the truth on this. Then your eyes are going to be awakened to not just the subject that you just studied. You're going to start looking into very deeply everything in your entire life that you've ever been told about everything. And you're going to find that you're going to have a lot of question marks about a lot of things and about a lot of things the mainstream media told you happened. But, well, I don't know if that really happened. JFK, the assassination of JFK. I mean, this is going back, we're going back decades. Did you know that he was shot from the front? Oh, there was only one shooter. Shot him in the back of the head. Well, he got shot in the throat, too. But, well, we don't hear nothing about that, do we? I'm just saying, question everything.
If you don't
what
mind,
say you guys?
A thought sprung into my mind. I've got two little boys, but we watch a lot of Disney stuff. I know, shame on me, but that's a discussion for a later time. But right now, what I see kind of happening is, you guys remember those stories with the wicked stepmother that's sweet and nice and kind and generous, as long as you're doing what they want, and then somewhere about halfway through the movie, the mask slips, and you see how they really are? That's kind of what's happening. I mean, you talk about the vaccines and the My Body, My Choice argument, and I'd like to point this out. They are entirely consistent. They are entirely consistent. For them, it's My Body, My Choice, Your Body, My Choice. Does anybody remember Fauci? It's time to shut up and do what you're told. We're seeing the masks slip. We're not playing around. We're not going along anymore. So now it's the you're going to do as you're told one way or another. And that's, I mean, if you watch Disney movies and other movies like that and so on and so forth, that's about the time when the hero or heroine wakes up and realizes, uh-oh, we've got to fight. So we might actually, I know everything isn't a fairy tale and so on and so forth, but we might actually have a fighting chance now because a lot of people are starting to wake up to that.
Yeah, I agree. There's a million things. I mean, we could literally go on and on and on for at least a three-hour show of Operation Paperclip, Operation Northwoods, Operation everything. And I'm sure Operation Warp Speed will be in there someday too about what really was that. But we don't know. Well, it was to speed up the vaccinations, to make the vaccine. But that's what we were told. But you know what? At this point in my life, after everything I've read and researched, anything that has operation in front of it, I don't trust one bit. And I don't give a shit who the president is. I don't care if it's a president that has a 90% approval rating. If there's operation anything in front of anything, I'm immediately questioning it. Okay, what's their angle? I mean, good God, they spread hepatitis to... What was it? Black people, wasn't it, Chris?
Syphilis. It was syphilis. The Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, there you go.
It was the Tuskegee experiment.
Yes, there we go. See, I've read so much about all these Operation This and this experiment and this, that, and the other, and I can't even keep it straight anymore. And now, with everything coming out and the constant distraction or the constant leak of this or the constant whistleblower of that, it's like my brain is on overload. I can't possibly keep retaining all the information that I've researched and take in more new information and try to decipher it. But all I say is make sure you ask questions about everything. Like I said before, don't just – if I tell you that, you know, whatever I tell you, don't listen to me. I'm just a guy. I'm just trying to tell you, hey, you have the option to research things. Don't be lazy. Well, basically is what I'm saying. But that's what people are. They want their McDonald's. They want their hamburger through the drive-through in 2 minutes. They want their information right now. Just tell me. No, I can't tell you. I can't possibly tell you everything for you to understand. It doesn't work that way. In order for you to comprehend some of the things I've said, you actually have to go and dig deep into it and act like you're an FBI agent and don't stop until you are comfortable with the information that you have all laid out in front of you and say, okay, they definitely lied to me. Then what was it? It's like a quiz. You're constantly getting new information, and you got to be careful that some of the places you look, it leads you down a rabbit hole that leads to another 3,000 rabbit holes. Pretty soon you're researching 30 different things at the same time. Don't do that. It'll overload you. And I'm telling you from experience, stick to the topic at hand. Those other things that it leads you to, write them down. And after you're done with your current research, start at the top of the list and research that until you're blue in the face. It's going to take, it takes a lot of time, but I trust me, when you get into this, it is absolutely astonishing how bad we've been lied to. I feel more sorry for my parents' generation because they still believe the narrative. They still believe the, you know, for the most part. My dad, he sees that there's something not right. But for the most part, they believe that what they've been taught and told their whole lives is pretty much true. But it's people like me that have that we woke up and really started digging into stuff, realize everything is bullshit. So, yeah, I don't know. I get off on a rant and a tear sometimes, but that's my take on it. And the more Pfizer documents that are released, the more you guys are going to realize that this was mass crimes against humanity, a mass. And that's why you hear Klaus Schwab saying we need to speed up the 2030 agenda. And I'm going to tell you something. You watch the next 6 months, things are going to go, it's going to make your fucking head spin. Excuse my language, but it's going to make your head spin. They're going to move fast and furious. You heard Joe Biden talk about a food shortage. I believe we're up to 23 food processing plants that have burned down. Or two of them, I think, had airplanes crash into them. I get there's airplane crashes or this or that. But two that crashed actually into a food processing plant? I haven't done a lot of research on this, and I'll admit that, but there's a lot of questions that it's raised. The timing of all of this is very suspect to me. And again, this is one of those subjects where you need to go look Walmart distribution centers that have burned down in the last year, food processing plants that have burned down or been hit by an airplane. Look at that and look at each processing plant. Who owned them? For instance, some of the financial partners of the World Economic Forum are Tyson Foods and JBS, both major players in the food processing in the United States. Pepsi-Cola, Coca-Cola are both partners. Every vaccine manufacturer is a partner of the World Economic Forum. If you start connecting the dots, ladies and gentlemen, and you start asking questions, now, again, I'm just leading you down a rabbit hole. You go look for yourself, and you're going to find out that what I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that it's going to raise a lot of questions in your head. Now, again, don't just because I have a certain belief in something doesn't mean I'm right. But it sure looks very suspicious with a lot of the things that have happened. But, again, 80,000 pages of the Pfizer document released, there's no way in the last 2 days that we could read 80,000 pages of Pfizer documents. So what I'm going to say is you wait. We've got 4 weeks until the next batch is dropped. In the next 4 weeks, we are going to learn some stuff that are going to disturb us. And I guarantee you that they're saving the juiciest part for the last drop. But it's only going to get worse from here. And like Brian said, I hope the masses wake up. I hope the left that is screaming right now in the streets about abortion realize that they're being played and they're being lied to. And we can all finally stand united against this evil in this world, and then we can fix the issues that we've had. But we have to fix the big one first, and that's the corruption and the evil that we see that are existing right now. I see we got one caller on here. I'm going to pick that up, and I think that's Stephen. Let me bring him on here. Is that you, Stephen?
Yep, that's me.
How's it going, man?
I'm sitting here listening. I know three things for sure, for absolute fact, that you ain't got to go down no rabbit hole about. One, it's the first time we got in American history, we ain't got a president. We got a criminally installed figurehead. Number two, easily offended people offend me. And number three and the biggest, Jesus Christ sitting on his right hand of the Father, making an intercession for us.
Yeah.
Very much.
Lot of our problems started in this country when people turn their backs on God.
Because one of my biggest pet peeves I got is people say all the time, and I've done it myself, God bless America. I understand the sentiment, but to me it's like this. You're asking God to bless sin because we make sin legal. And I say we because we elected them in there. It's time we elect them out.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, since I got you on the line here, the guy that I was talking with you this morning, tell him that I'm going to get him on the show right away next Thursday. I didn't see that he called in here, which is fine. But I'll get him on next Thursday, and then I can advertise a little bit better too. We're talking about everything. The Roe versus Wade. We're talking about the Pfizer documents that were dropped, the conspiracy theories that have came true. Like I think somebody said, like we're 21-0. Like we're on a winning streak here, and it's not a winning streak that we want to be on. Trust me. We don't. I've said this numerous times. When I have to say I told you so to somebody, it's the most unsatisfying I told you so, because I can see in their eyes that they're hurt. They're surprised. It affects them to their core. But it's also a way of me saying you need to open up your eyes. You need to open up your mind. You need to open up your heart, and you need to start listening a little bit.
That's one of the problems with a lot of people got, and especially when he's talking about not following you, looking at yourself, and people just follow anything and all this, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, he's talking about church. How many people follow? Just like when me and Dave would do our lives when we're disrespected, is don't take our word for it. Look it up for yourself. We got too many that are following this one and that one, and they're following the wrong one. See, also this, there's a difference between knowing the word and knowing the author. Now, we need to start not taking, the last word I'm going to take as a politician to start with. They're about like car salesmen. They're going to try to sell you anything. Any agenda, any narrative, what have you, that fits them. Just like what you was talking about. We need to start looking up for ourselves. Because we have, if we want to change this generation, if we want to change this nation coming up, it starts with our children. How they are taught. Because I've been on kick here lately about men in the household. And we need more men in the house. We got too many boys running home. We need some real men to stand up, stand at the threshold, or really lead their house. Now, if we get to a point to where, just like I believe internet, I think Hutch has said a while back, and I believe wholeheartedly, the internet's dumbed a lot of people down. It probably dumbed me. But the children is where it's at, because if we can change and get them on the right track, as they come up through up, next thing you know, they're going to be the ones up on the hill, what have you. It's how they're taught. It's how they're going to probably go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble in this country.
Well, so America's got a hard time to start with.
Yeah. No, it's Chris, what did you want to add on to this conversation?
Wow. Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I had a thought earlier, a few points back, and that one's kind of left my head.
They have me all time.
We got to be the digital soldiers, and I've said that mm-hmm. before. You know, the only way the mass awakening happens is if guys like us get out here and we keep doing this job, you know, just completely disregard the media and the propaganda. Do the research yourself. Find the data. Find the source. Share it out. Talk to people. And slowly but surely, you know, it's a slow process, you know, because I like I said, you know, me years ago, you know, I've been socialist propaganda and the Cloward Piven plan for how they would, you know, destroy
Chris,
and force the capitalist country for so long.
What's Chris, that? 1 second, if you don't mind. I'm sorry. But I'm Brian and Steven. I'm going to put you guys back on the microphone headset because somebody's got background noise and it's really distracting. So
okay.
Thank you guys for adding your
hey,
opinions buddy. And thoughts, and I appreciate you, okay?
Hey, it's probably me. Probably just mute me out. I was eating a piece of fish there at the same time. It's probably just me. Just mute me out.
Okay. Okay, so I got to put Steven back on the microphone there, off the microphone. So not a big deal, but it gets distracting when we're trying to have a discussion. So go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. And by the way, I just wanted to mention before you go on, remember the documentary that just was released, 2,000 Mules. But go ahead.
All right. Hopefully it's not me. A reefer just kicked on right beside me out here in the parking lot.
No, you're good.
No, you know, 2 years ago when all this first started unfolding, I had already been looking at the numbers previously. Like I said, I've been studying socialist propaganda and the Cloward Piven plan for – I knew the playbook. I knew the playbook that Venezuela went through. I knew, you know, the playbook that Cuba went through when they got forced into a socialist government. So as soon as I saw the things that were happening with the – lockdowns and all that, I immediately honed in on exactly where this was going. Most people aren't like me. Most people haven't spent 30 years studying this stuff. because they probably had much better things to do with their time, you know, than study for some socialist takeover that may or may not happen in their lifetime. But I did, and I recognized it. And it really is. Everything that's happening, it falls in line with the – granted, there's some more modern twists because the Cloward-Piven plan came out in the 1950s. But it's all in line. It's all about increasing dependency, controlling the narrative, controlling information so that you can spread propaganda. It's about collapsing the existing economy so that everyone is forced to be dependent, at least in some form or fashion, upon the government and controlling the masses. And then basically when you've got everybody at their breaking point, once you've destroyed the economy, once you've got people starving, they're more willing to play the game by whatever rules you set forth if that means they get to put food on their table. And you literally, you bring a country to its knees and you force it to basically beg for some sort of mercy, all while you pretend that you had their best interest at heart the whole time. And this has just all been one tragic series of unplanned events. And now we're here to help you, but you know what? You're going to have to go along with a few things for us to help you. And so it is up to all of us that know what's going on. We've got to be the ones out here being dedicated and digging in, getting the information, getting it out to people. And they may dismiss you at first, but you give them a few predictions and let a few of those predictions come true, and they're more apt to start saying, you know what, okay, maybe this person's onto something. And that's why we're seeing there is a slow awakening that's taking place. And ironically enough, it seems like the awakening is happening faster in other countries. You don't hear about it unless you're out there kind of digging into this stuff. The unrest that we have here and the realization that our government's lying to us, that's happening much faster in places like Australia, New Zealand, Romania, Spain. I mean, these people have been showing France. Up in, yeah, in France. They've been resisting by the millions for a long time now.
Yeah.
And we're just slowly starting to pick up on it here. But again, that
Canada.
Information is
yeah.
not there. Canada. Yeah, that one did pick up some worldwide coverage. You know, so it is happening. The awakening is taking place. There is absolutely an information war going on right now. So, yeah, to all my fellow digital soldiers out there, you know what, keep up the good work and let's win this one because we can't afford to lose.
No, exactly. Future generations depend on it. You know, those of you that are listening, we, in order for us to get this information out there at mass levels, we need you to share out or help us promote this radio show, because I trust me, every week we're going to have a topic on here that will be controversial. You know why? Because I'm a controversial kind of guy. I like to bring stuff on that's controversial. I like to get the truth out there. I like when people ask questions about things. I don't want people to come on here and say, I like that guy, and he, you know, and just follow me blindly. I don't want that. I want you to get on here and ask yourself questions. That's what I want. I want you to get on here and listen to my perspective, and then I want you to listen to Chris's perspective, and then I want different callers on here and listen to their perspective, and take all three perspectives and run with it. Look into research. You go in to DuckDuckGo search engine and type in how many government operations have there been. I think that's what the search words are. That'll give you, like, Operation Warp Speed, obviously, but Paperclip, Operation Northwoods. There's a list. I want to say, Chris, help me out with this one, but I think there's, like, 80 or 90 on that list. I mean, it's a long list. And me and Chris, actually, we're starting a series on it. Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, MK Ultra, Northwoods, oh gosh, the Tuskegee Airmen. I can't even think of the name of the one. There was actually one in St. Louis that dealt with radioactive fallout, where they were basically testing to see what kind of impact radioactive would fall out, or what kind of impact radio fallout would have on people. And they were actually like hitting this one building where people work with radioactive particles completely against the people's knowledge. The list goes on and on and on. I remember what I was going to speak on earlier. You were talking about Kennedy, and I was just going to point out that, you know, Donald Trump himself, you know, came out and said, you know, I'm not going to release these pages that I promised to release because it would have, it would do irreversible damage to the country if he released those pages of Kennedy assassination investigation. And my response to that is, well, number one, why? Why did you sell out? Number two, how could it possibly, this long after the fact, how could it possibly have damage due to our operation of this country now, unless some of those forces that did whatever it was that was so awful were still in play?
Oh, they're still in play. You trust me on that. And I guarantee you, I don't know this for facts, so let me just say this is my opinion. I believe would have released that. However, the forces that killed JFK, which I do believe was our own CIA and possibly the FBI or whatever, I do believe that a lot of them have ties with the World Economic Forum. And I also believe that they are so powerful that Donald Trump would have had the same fate of JFK if he would have released the last 5,000 pages of that file. And I don't think Donald Trump is quite ready to commit suicide, if you know what I mean. He's living a pretty damn good life. I mean, he's got Mar-a-Lago. He's got golf courses all over. He's living a pretty decent life. Unless you really are a true patriot, you would have said, you know what, screw my life. The country needs to know the real truth. But, again, I can be a Monday morning quarterback. I don't know what I would do in that situation. You don't know what you would do when you're intimidated. It all depends on what the intimidation was. Maybe they said, you release that, and I'm going to kill your whole bloodline and leave you alive. You know, you don't know. They're murderous, crude, evil people. And I know I haven't even hit the tip of the iceberg as far as information. I have read a lot of the JFK files, and the fact that he was shot, you know, in the throat. And when I was taught my whole life, he was shot in the back of the head. And there was only one gunman, but there was a conspiracy theory about a gunman at Grassy Knoll. Then I started reading into it, and the Secret Service member that was in the front of that car, it looked like there was a shot fired from his weapon. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know what the truth is. But I know that what we've been told is not the truth. I guarantee you that much. So, again, that goes back to what I said earlier. Look, dig. Don't stop digging. It's hard to conclude with the JFK assassination because we don't have all the evidence. There's still 5,000 pages that have not been released, and Biden refuses to release them too. And there's a question that you should ask yourself. Why? This happened in 1963. I mean, we're talking 60 years ago. Everybody that was alive then are pretty much dead, while Nancy Pelosi's still alive. That old battle axe. But there still has to be some players in the game. I do believe George Bush Sr. was involved heavily in the assassination of JFK. But every sitting United States president knows exactly who was responsible for that assassination.
Right.
And I'm almost positive they probably hold it over their head. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so there's the 5,000 pages from that hasn't been released. And then, of course, there's still the infamous 29 pages from the 9/11 commission that hasn't been released. You know, and, you know, what's taking place there? Why do we have to shield those 29 pages? And it's just, you know, dangerous to the country and to humanity if we were to view. What are they hiding there?
Yeah, 9/11 is another one. One of the biggest attacks on our country by our own country, by our own government. I've read a lot of those reports too. Holy shit, when you get into the deep into that, that'll blow your mind. That blew my mind. And I've been screaming about this too for years, about 9/11 was an inside job. And you should hear people call me, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a dipshit, you're a dumbass, whatever they want to call me. But those are the same people that have never taken 1 minute out of their day to actually look into anything and research it. And again, don't listen to me. Go dig into it yourself.
Do you know how I became a conspiracy theorist, Jeremy?
How's that?
So, I would say back about 2009. I had some friends that were, leaning towards that tinfoil hat side. And they were coming out with all these crazy conspiracy theories, things they were concerned about, things involving FEMA, things involving the amount of ammunition that the government was buying up at the time, creating an ammunition shortage, things about some arms treaties that we were entering into with other countries, et cetera, et cetera. Some changes to the National Defense Authorization Act and 9/11, the conspiracy theories surrounding 9/11, which I'm going to tell you, a lot of the conspiracy theories around 9/11 are absolutely patently false. Some of those I know for a fact, but irregardless, I started going down the rabbit hole with the whole intention and purpose of proving that these guys were a bunch of nut jobs, basically, that these conspiracy theories were asinine. And unfortunately, as I started going down the rabbit hole and I really started researching some of these things they were talking about, I started finding out things that I was like, oh, shit. and then over the years, I started finding out more things and more things. And then I even ran into some really crazy things all the way back to 2009, 2014, people talking about the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. And they started talking all this crazy talk, and this was years ago, about how at some point in the future, they didn't know exactly when, but in the not-too-distant future, there was going to be this global pandemic, and that the global pandemic was going to include things like lockdown, where they forced all the businesses to close, and they ordered people to stay in their homes, and nobody could go to work, and they were going to force people to wear masks, even though that they knew the masks weren't going to be useful against the virus, but they were going to force people to wear masks anyway. And that shit sounded crazy years ago. So that's another reason why when this pandemic first broke out and the lockdowns first got announced, I was, pardon my language, parental guidance suggested here, I was freaking the fuck out because shit that I'd been hearing for years that I used to laugh at. Shit that I'd been hearing for years that I had laughed off and said, oh, whatever, that would never happen. This sounds like some sort of, crazy, 1984 type of dystopian future type of, thing. And I started to see it actually happening exactly the way that some of those people within those crazy conspiracy theory circles had described.
Yeah. Now, I want to, before we go, I want to bring up two names. And some of you are going to go, oh, for God's sake, now you've really went off the deep end. But I want you to trust me, and I'm going to give you a starting point. I want you to go look up everything that you possibly can find of Alex Jones, any of his old broadcasts, from the very beginning. Start watching them from the very beginning, and take your time and get through them. But listen very closely of the things that he said or has said, and then compare him to what has happened that he said that have came true. And it's going to blow your mind. The second guy, Jesse Ventura, he did a conspiracy show for, I don't know, 3 seasons or something like that. It got canceled, or I don't know exactly what happened there. But go and look at every episode. Yeah. Start at episode number one and start watching those episodes and the interviews that he did with certain people. He did a lady that flew in to an airport, and she flew right back out because she was scared what was going to happen before this pandemic even happened. This has been years ago that he talked to her. She said
they
were planning a worldwide – what's that?
Do you remember what organization she had previously worked for?
No, I don't remember the details on it.
World Health
I think it was World Economic Forum. Oh, the World Health Organization, yeah. Yep. And she warned Jesse Ventura that they are going to come out with a forced vaccination, and basically they're planning a worldwide genocide. And Klaus Schwab, there's no secret with him. He said, he said we need to get rid of 2.5 billion, worthless eaters? Or useless eaters is what he used the word.
Useless eaters.
What that means, useless eaters. What that means is they're planning a food shortage, and there's going to be mass starvation. And that's going to be in the very near future, I believe. I'm not saying this is 10 or 20 years away. I'm going to guess this is within the next 3 years. And it might be shorter than that. But the way things are going right now, I wouldn't doubt it. But that lady, she warned Jesse Ventura, and you could see in the fear in her eyes, she wanted the hell out of the United States. And I don't remember even where she flew in from. Somewhere in Europe, I think. But you have to go back and watch everything, every one of Jesse Ventura's videos, interviews, when he started doing the conspiracy stuff. Not before that, when he was governor or anything like that, because it doesn't really make a difference. He didn't really say much. And then, again, Alex Jones, you have to go. He was at the World Economic Forum in Davos, and I don't know how the hell he got in there, but he exposed them a long time ago. And I watched that partial of that episode that he did about that, and the things he said on there compared to what, and that was years ago that he did this, and now today it's like, holy shit, the person that they said is a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist, the one that they canceled, and now me being canceled on multiple platforms numerous times, I start putting two and two together. They're canceling anybody that is coming close to exposing what they're really doing. And I'm just a small player. But when you start getting 85, 90,000 followers and you grow by 5,000 followers a day, you're hitting the nail on the head somewhere. And they know it. They're watching me close. I'm up to 40,000 again back on TikTok, but I guarantee you that account is not going to be there for very much longer. I know it won't. But I can't stop trying to spread the message. If I'm on TikTok for another 2 weeks and I have 45,000 followers and I get 4,000 people to start looking into things differently, I did my job. Those 4,000 people are going to tell other people. It's a snowball effect, and that's what they're scared of. Don't want that truth out there. Yeah, but anyway, well, first of all, let me thank Chris for filling in for me the first, half hour of the show. Usually Thursdays I'm parked by 5 o'clock in the afternoon on my old route, but now I got a new one. And it's going to be hit and miss for me until this run ends probably in the next 3-4 weeks. So you might have a lot of weeks where Chris is starting off the show, or we might set the show back a half hour just to accommodate, you know, things. Me and Chris will talk about that. Brian, I always appreciate you filling in and your thoughts and your opinions, and the fact that you you question me and throw out your viewpoint. That's a good thing. That's called respectful conversation and dialogue, and it shows other people that that can be had. You don't have to agree with somebody 100% of the time. So I do appreciate Brian and Stephen. Thank you for calling in tonight and sharing your opinion and thoughts, and we'll get to your guy next week. So that's all I got for tonight. Chris, let me give you a few minutes to, if you want to say something, to wrap the show up, and then we will see you all next week. So, Chris, the show is yours, my man.
All right. Well, I pretty much said all I have to say tonight. You know, it is kind of, you know, it's much respect to you for when you first started this show by yourself, because running that switchboard and trying to get the conversation flowing at the same time is, it is a challenging thing. And man, I was going through, and I had this whole monologue I was going to do about how you were unable to be there at the start of the show because the last I heard, you were trying to get the ice cream truck to stop, and you were chasing after it and said, I got to go, and I was going to play the ice cream truck jingle that we have from the switchboard. But through it, and I was trying to talk. I all of a sudden I couldn't find it again, so I just skipped over it. But no, you know, as always, yeah, I love doing this. You know, thank you to the audience, you know, for our listeners here that that make this possible, and of course the Blog Talk Radio on Blog Network. So thank you for bringing me in, and that's all I got.
Cool. No, I enjoy it too. I and Amanda and Diane, they're very avid listeners. They listen every week. We appreciate your support. She shares our show out every week. So we every one of you that help by sharing our shows out, by following me on social media, copying that link, and everywhere you share that out is only going to draw more people. What we do try to do is keep it interesting. We don't like to stick to one subject because people get bored with one subject. People have a short attention span. So we do like to touch on trucking issues because it informs the public that don't know nothing about the trucking industry. But we also like to inform the public about what really is happening in this country because, after all, it affects all of us. You don't have to be just a trucker to realize that the Pfizer was committing crimes against humanity while our government supported them and pushed for it. So, and worldwide, by the way. Anyway, we had a lot of information put out there. I hope that you guys that are listening or listen to the show, the recorded version of the show, go please and look up some stuff. Start somewhere. And I'm not telling you have to look up this or look up that. But start digging into stuff a little bit deeper than reading one news article or one headline. You have to dig into this deep. And when I say deep, when you see, let's say Operation Paper, look up Operation Paperclip. Read that first article or whatever it says and go right on down the line. Go to Alex Jones, his old stuff. Start from the very beginning all the way up to today. Jesse Ventura. I'll give you directions to go. InfoWars, yes. I'll give you
InfoWars. And Jesse Ventura's show was called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, there you go. There's your starting point. Listen to their shows, and after each show, go and research whatever that topic was. That's great, and I hate to call it homework, but it's great. That's a great start. And once you start digging into this, you're going to be like me and Chris. You're going to find yourself unable to stop. I'm just going to give you this one warning before we go, though. Please don't do it too fast. The more information that you uncover and realize you've been lied to, the more it's going to negatively affect your mental state. And I think Chris can attest to that. It's going to blow your – it literally blow your mind. It affected me very negatively because I went way too fast, way too hard. Yeah. And I learned that I've got to take it in at bits and pieces. And some of you will be able to just keep on going with it. But there's going to be others that it's going to affect you. Just slow down. Stop for a second. Let it sink in. Let it absorb. And give yourself a little bit of time. Take a deep breath. It's nothing. You're not going to change the world overnight. But the more knowledge that you have about what's really happened is the more knowledge you can spread to others and get them to wake up so we can stop the evil that is about to take place if we don't all wake up soon. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to call it a wrap for the number 32 episode of the Disinspected Trucker Radio Show. You all have a great night, and God bless each and every one of you.